There are several readings that are used for the Feast of Christ the King, and the one I prefer, I think, is the Last Judgment, where Christ is coming on the clouds of heaven. And that one is disturbing also. It depends on which side of whether you're a sheep or a goat, you know. But this year we have this very challenging reading, Christ the King reigning from his crucifixion. What does it mean? I think the first question we have to ask ourselves is, where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, of course, is in heaven. This is the goal of our lives. This is what we're striving for. It is home. This is not home. It only appears to be for a time. The kingdom of God is not in the world at large. The church is on pilgrimage to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within me. This is where Christ wants to reign, and where he will reign unless we throw him out with mortal sin. I wanted to share with you a story that I prayed about it all week because it's a little bit depressing, but I really felt that God wanted me to share it, and it kind of goes with this gospel. And some of you may have heard this in the news, but I suspect many have not. It did not receive much press coverage in this country. I don't know why. I've read quite a few accounts of it, and to the best of my knowledge, this is as accurate as I know. On All Saints' Day evening, churchgoers went into Mass at Our Lady of Salvation Catholic Church in downtown Baghdad. This is a Syrian Rite Catholic Church, the Chaldean Church. It is almost as old as Christianity itself. It's one of the 22 or 21 rites of the Catholic Church. We're the Latin Rite. They're the Syrian Chaldean Rite. And they went to Mass, just like we, on a 5:30 evening. And they had Mass. Now, this is, you know, Baghdad, they had all kinds of barricades and barbed wire and police and things like that to protect these people. A group of terrorists came in, and they managed to get a car bomb pretty close to the building, and they set it off during Mass. And then five of them came in to the entrances and blocked all the exits. Mass was still going on. The first thing they did was there were three priests in there, and about 200 people celebrating Mass that evening. And the priest was still behind the altar. It was towards the end of Mass. They went right up to the front. They always aim right for the priest in these things, you know. And believe me, it made me think a little bit about this. But they went right up to him and pinned him down on the ground. They said, "You're an infidel and you deserve to die. You are a polytheist." You know what that means? You believe in more than one God. Did you know that we're polytheists? We're not. But that's what they're taught. At least these people were. And he began to plead. He said, "Take my life, but spare the congregation." And he said, "No, you're an infidel, and you deserve to die." And he shot him right there in front of everybody. Then they went to the priest hearing confessions in the back and shot him. There was a four-hour standoff in which they had a hand grenade, a machine gun, and a bunch of guns. And people were being executed. And then finally, the police came 4 hours later and stormed the building, at which point they set off their grenades and tried to kill everybody. One priest, the last priest, died when the hand grenade went off. Best of my understanding, he threw his body over some children, and they lived and he died. You know, if you've got to go, I guess that's the best way to do it. But later, some of these terrorists followed these people to their homes, if you can believe this, And they made a statement saying, "This is Al-Qaeda. The Muslims throughout the world condemn this." But the people, this group in Iraq, said, "None of you are safe. We're going to target every single Christian place of worship in the country because you're infidels." It was a nest of polytheism, is what they called it. Now, I brought that story up partly because the Archbishop of Iraq, the Syrian Rite, has begged especially Catholics all over the world to pray for them, because this story did not get out to a lot of us. And so we are praying for them today. They're one of us, you know. We live in a different world here, but we're part of the same church. But it also, I know it's a grisly story, but you know, the story of Christ on the cross is pretty grisly too. We're just used to it. The people that put him there were religious leaders. They were people that went to synagogue every Sunday. These were the high priests that came by and taunted him, not just the criminals. He was innocent, but they had to get rid of him. So their solution was, let's just murder him. And then they went right back to synagogue. It's scary. So Jesus reigns from his cross, and it's obvious that this is not the kingdom of God. We try our best to make life as happy as possible. Jesus himself enjoyed many good times with his disciples, many good meals, and they must have laughed. But the reality is, life is kind of one cross after the other. Christ promised us we'd have one. Jesus on the cross today is king, especially of all those who have been innocently killed or have been innocent and yet suffered. I think, of course, the first thing I thought of was the 50 million unborn that have died in this country legally. Jesus is king of that. And if you yourself have experienced this, the church has a healing sacrament to bring you healing. I've had the great privilege as a priest to lead many women and men to some kind of healing from this terrible thing that our society says is fine, but it's not fine. But Jesus is also suffering with prisoners who have been unjustly put into prison, like Jesus was, or even executed, and they were innocent. How many? We will not know till the last day, but it will all be known. And Jesus is there with them. He is reigning in prison with these people, and a few of them are priests. He is with us, not just in the large things like the Holocaust or September 11th, but in the small injustices that we have to undergo. You know, we don't have to go all the way to Iraq to see this kind of thing. Right now, the Woodburn bombers are on trial, if you've been following that in the newspaper. Or this woman who tried to hire a hitman to kill her husband, that was in the newspaper this week. You think, you know, you couldn't make this stuff up on As the World Turns, some of this stuff. But this is the real world, and this is where Christ reigns. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. We are the outpost of the kingdom of God in this world. The church is you and me. And the battle is inside of us to constantly keep Christ on his throne. When we throw him off with some kind of mortal sin, we as Catholics, we can go to confession and put him right back on there. You know, what a great grace. But, you know, there comes a time when we all have to face the big cross. And I was thinking, you know, there are a lot of little crosses that we face each day. You know, waking up perhaps on Monday, we may have snow and ice. Perhaps it'll rain and freeze, and then there'll be snow. That's the worst kind of thing. I'd like to say I'm going to suffer with you, but I'll be home on Monday. But I did give my snow tires away, so I'm in trouble, I think. But, yeah. Little crosses and big cross. The little crosses prepare us for the big ones. Sometimes the cross that we have to bear is one that we've created for ourselves. This is the worst kind of cross, because we know that we, like the thief said, I deserve this cross, but Jesus, have mercy on me. You know, other times we're completely innocent. You know, the worst form of murder, really, that most of us experience is slander, calumny, detraction. When somebody says something really evil about us at work, at home, and they know it's not true, but they want to get us. Maybe you've done it yourself. Jesus suffers with us. And this is the person who suffers this is innocent on the cross. So sometimes we're innocent and sometimes we're guilty. And we have a choice to make. This gospel is very powerful. Christ is in the midst of us. He himself crucified, affixed to a cross, reigning on this earth in that form. And when we find ourselves in a situation where we feel an injustice has been done to us, perhaps by God himself, believe me, I've been in this situation myself, sometimes we put an act of trust in God. Jesus, you know, I have cancer, but I trust in you. I don't deserve this, but I love you. Other times we say, how can you do this to me? You took my child. And we hate him. And most of us have been on both sides of this argument. And this is why this gospel is presented on the last Sunday of the year. Next week we get to start over. But the question is, does Jesus really reign in my heart? It's a mixed bag. But every choice I make can be a choice for Christ. We always get another opportunity. The small choices prepare us for the large ones, and they will come. Some of you have had more than others. This is a mystery of life. Some people really have a lot of big crosses to bear right now. But Christ is with us, especially when an injustice is done. He's with every martyr that has ever lived throughout the history of the world. Even before Christ lived and died, there were people that he suffered for. When I first read this gospel, I thought, these two guys hanging on their crosses, the most unique thing in history. But on second thought, it's not unique. We too are in this picture. This is a story about us. Each of us has our moment on Calvary where we too are put on a cross we'd rather not be on. It may be something I did to myself. It may be something that was done to me. But at that moment, and in the small Calvaries of life, I have a choice to make. Will Christ still be the king of my heart? Will I invite him in by an act of trust? If I can't get there, he will help me. If I blow it, he'll forgive me. He's always there for me until the end of my life. The question is, will I allow Christ to reign in my heart or not?